If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you're watching Don Talk here on Channel 180, Charter, or excuse me, Spectrum Channel 180. I almost went back into the old one. Check us out also on Roku, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. This episode of Don Talk has been brought to you by Tony Sara, Nissan, and Coleman. I'm Don.
And I'm Dessa.
And we're here with Phyllis Little, the EMA director of Coleman County. Thank you, Phyllis, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Real quick, we got some announcements. I know we can't touch now. Ooh,
no,
no.
Can't.
Nope.
I'm on.
See, I'm shaking my hand right here. Lots going on right now. Let's do some quick announcements, but then we got some breaking news. So, Dessa, okay. With the announcements.
I feel like I should do breaking news first, but it's okay. Big Dish is going on tonight, unless something gets canceled because of all the hysteria. Mm-hmm. Big Fish, the play, is going on at Wall State tonight, tomorrow night, and 2:00 on Sunday.
Okay.
Also, we have the Hansel Irish Heritage Festival tomorrow. We have Kayaking for a Cure tomorrow.
Yep.
And we have the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast tomorrow at Coleman High School.
So there's a lot going on out there. So let's all go out and enjoy those things before we all get quarantined in our beds.
Don't freak out.
I'm just joking. Don't forget.
But
we do have some, unfortunately, yes, it is. We do have some quick news to say. The state health officer, Scott Harris, has said that a person in Montgomery County has recently traveled out of state in an area where the coronavirus is present and has tested positive at this time for the coronavirus. So, unfortunately, on this Friday the 13th, it brings bad news and not horror movies that really aren't that great. It could be a little bit of a problem. On that note, let's get back to Phyllis here. Phyllis, tell us a little. Thank you for coming, and let's talk a little bit about since it's on our minds, let's talk about the coronavirus. What has the CDC said?
Well, the CDC has put out their recommendations about social distancing, limiting visitors in places like nursing homes, hospitals, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also put out the symptoms. We've added both the CDC website specific for the coronavirus and the state public health website to our website. So you can go to our website and do a link. The state is updating theirs daily.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually scroll to the bottom of the page and see when the latest update was posted.
Okay.
So most anything you never really wanted to know about coronavirus is there.
Yes.
There are things specific regarding special populations, community groups, businesses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of recommendations there that people can follow.
Okay.
I can tell you that local government in Coleman County, and I'm talking all government in Coleman County, not just the county commission, and the county, the first responder community, and the healthcare community in Coleman County has been working for several years under the healthcare coalitions across the state doing planning for just this type of a situation.
Okay, fantastic.
So the planning's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's working together. We've got several meetings scheduled over the next week so that we're sure everybody's on the same page, everybody's got their ducks in a row, and we're ready to go.
Good.
We're doing everything that we possibly can to ensure that local services are maintained, for one thing, but our personnel and the public are protected as much as we can provide that.
Now, I wanted to ask you another quick question about this, and then we're going to move on to something else, because this has been run into the ground a million times, but I think it's important to know what are, if a quarantine does happen here in Coleman, and I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying that if it was to happen, and the whole county was to be quarantined, how would that go about, and what would citizens need to do to prepare for that?
Well, the only example I would have would be that New Rochelle in New York State that has the limited travel in and out of that area, Borough County. I'm not exactly sure what it's called. Pharmacies would likely remain open. Mm-hmm. It may just be drive-through.
Yeah.
Now, this is my speculation. This is not something I have seen 100% in writing. But I would speculate that things like pharmacies would remain open so that people could get medications if they
schools
needed them.
Schools would likely close
mm-hmm. for an extended period of time.
At least a couple weeks, like all of the state of Georgia is practically closed.
Yeah. We've already got limited visiting at the hospitals and the nursing homes.
Yes.
Right.
So things like that will be shut down. Now your critical services with local government, and I can really only speak for the specific plans that we have in place for the county government, the critical services would remain open as long as they possibly could.
Right. Yeah. In other words, your court cases and stuff, that's going to go.
That's probably going to go away. That's state.
Right. Yeah.
Those are state state mandated kind of things. They work off of what the state tells them to do. Mm-hmm. Your garbage pickup, maintaining of you know, water lines and things like that.
Critical infrastructure.
But over the years, the county commission has worked with us to develop a continuity of operations plan for county government and county services, and we have instructed all of our departments and elected officials who are over departments or agencies to plan for at least a 40% reduction in personnel during a pandemic of any kind.
Okay.
We started working on this with flu, so years ago, but the same things go. So you're talking about 40% of your workforce. Well, my office is two people.
Well, that would be one of you.
That would be at least one of us.
And then the other one might have just come down with something.
But a lot of the agencies are like ours. Mm-hmm. They can keep critical reports, critical services going by telework.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can do a lot of your stuff.
It's remoting in. We wouldn't necessarily have to be right in the office all the time. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for us, where our office is located, we're kind of isolated from everybody anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're in a basement of the water department building.
Yeah. Right.
It's just us.
That's a deep basement. I've been down there. It's a long way down.
Just us. So, you know, it's we're pretty isolated.
Yeah.
So you may have some hiccups in services, but I don't think you're going to miss services for an extended period of time.
And I think a lot of people are kind of blowing it a little out of proportion, a lot of it. You know, yes, there'll be quarantines in some areas and stuff like that, but, you know, like you said, that we're still going to have our infrastructure that's going to still continue to work.
Right.
You know, you might be out of work for a couple of days or maybe a week because of sickness that has come to your work, but, you know, eventually everything's going to come back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, it affects everybody differently, but I think for the majority of people, it's all going to come back to normal, and we're going to be fine.
Seems like the hardest hit populations are the 65 and older.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And especially
children are seeming to be recovering from it.
Yeah, especially in those congregate populations of hospitals and nursing homes and things like that.
Ugh.
So,
well, Phyllis, real quick, I want to ask you a little bit. After we come back from break, I want to ask you a little bit about your profession and what you do, what the majority of what you do is. But we got to go to break real quick, and we'll be right back after these messages. This episode has been brought to you by Tony Sarah Nissan and Coleman. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Don Talk. I'm your host, Don, and this episode has been brought to you by Tony Sarah Nissan and Coleman. We're back with Phyllis Little here in Dessa. We want to talk, or I want to talk a little bit real quick about how you got started in the EMA. What made you want to join the, or become the director of the EMA?
Emergency Management Association.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Agency.
I knew I'd bomb that. Close enough.
Agency.
Close enough.
I was actually in a mobile home on the Monday after Thanksgiving in 1973, getting ready to graduate from nursing school, and my mobile home took a direct hit.
Ooh, you felt it.
It kind of rolled and tumbled and made a mess. I wasn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of sparked an interest. And over the years, at one point, I had just happened to be in the courthouse years ago, and we had tornadoes moving through, and walked downstairs because I knew the civil defense director at that point and said, "Hey, I'm here. I can't leave. If you need anything, here I am."
Yeah.
And they sat me down in front of a radio console and said, gave me a legal pad and said, "Write down everything you hear."
Wow.
And you've been doing this since?
I've been with EMA now for almost 25 years.
Wow, that's awesome. Did you hear all the sirens going off at like 12:30 this morning?
No.
Nobody did. Did you hear?
That's why I gotta have a weather
radio.
I have
a question for you.
No.
Do you think that the train travel is gonna increase because of the lack of air? I heard so many trains going by my house last night. Like 6 different trains. I never hear that many. Or maybe I just couldn't sleep.
Maybe you just couldn't
sleep. Maybe they go that by all the time.
I don't know.
I just thought maybe like, you know, the opposite of like you can't do air travel, or maybe so like, okay, we're pushing through with more trains. I couldn't sleep. I was up every 2 hours last night because of a train coming through Coleman. It was
Well, we have a lot of trains, but
I must sleep through most of them.
No. I haven't noticed any difference at the office. You know, we're right next to the train tracks, too.
Well, Phyllis, real quick, I want to talk on this little subject real quick. I went to the Storm Spotter class that you had down at Dodge City, and it was fantastic. I learned so much about weather spotting and what is a tornado, what isn't a tornado, what this weather coming at me looks like, that kind of thing. And it was such a valuable tool. I don't see why everybody doesn't do it. And I think everybody should do it because it really lets you know a lot about what the weather, just by looking up, you can kind of get a grasp of what's going on.
Exactly. And I'm like you, I don't understand why everybody doesn't do that once in a while either.
Especially with all the tornadoes we have.
Welcome to Alabama.
It's a very good class. And I'm sure you heard me say, used to we had that twice a year. We did a spring and a fall class.
Mm-hmm.
And with the cutbacks at the federal level for travel for the National Weather Service, who does our instructing,
mm-hmm.
we've had to cut back to one a year. But it was a very good class, and wasn't it great to see all the little Girl Scouts
it
there?
It was really nice to see. They were so participative. You know, they participated a lot, and they learned a lot. And, you know, it's great to see the younger crowd get interested in that kind of thing.
And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of kids at the classes, and it's a free class.
Yes, it don't cost a dime.
We do it in March every year, long about the same week of March mm-hmm. every year. And last several years, we used to do it primarily here in town, somewhere with a larger place.
Mm-hmm.
But we found that we were getting mostly the same people.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But we were missing so many people, and we have a lot of the older population that lives in the Dodge City area that would go to town hall that would not necessarily drive to Coleman at night. They're just mm-hmm. not comfortable
yeah.
driving to Coleman at night. So we decided a few years ago to move it from municipality to municipality, town to town,
yeah.
so to say. And that's working really well. We're hitting a larger group of people. A wider spread of the population, including
That's
the
great.
Kids. It was wonderful having those
yes,
Girl Scouts there.
It really was. Well, Phyllis, thank you for coming in today. We're running short on time now,
sure.
but we have that Corona thing we had to talk about, of course. But thank you so much for coming in
thank
and talking with us. And,
you
know, where can people find out about the EMA and maybe some information if they want to talk about or look at tornado stuff and, you know, weathers?
You can go to our website at www.ColemanEMA.org.
Okay.
And, that will tell you about us. You're welcome to visit our office. We're in the basement of the Coleman County Water Department.
Mm-hmm.
There is only two of us in the office, so sometimes you may get there and there's nobody there.
Let's hope to stay.
But we'd be glad to have visitors anytime.
And you're also on Facebook, correct?
Yes, we are on Facebook. It's Coleman EMA.
Okay.
We have a smartphone app that is Coleman EMA.
Okay.
And you can link to our Facebook page
That's
from it.
That's great.
Fantastic. Well, thank
price
you so much.
The Price is Right was canceled. That should tell you. The Price is Right has been canceled.
Oh, yeah. The Price is Right been canceled.
People are
canceled. That's not good. It's not good out there. Well, thank you so much for coming
thank
on
you.
The show. And
thank
we appreciate you for coming
you.
In. This episode of Dawn Talk has been brought to you by Tony, Sarah, Nissan, and Coleman. This has been Dawn Talk. Thanks for watching.